Hello,
and welcome to Basic Money Matters, where we take the complicated financial parts of your life and business and make it easy for you to understand. I'm Annette, and I am so happy that you have joined us today. Last week, we discussed ways that you can take a look at, as an employee, take a look at your W-4 and suggested ideas in terms of preparing for your tax return filing, whether to file an extension, that's an option, taking a look at your W-4 mid-year, and determining whether or not the proper amount is being withheld from your taxes so that you would not be overpaying so much or underpaying so much during the year. And the week before that, we discussed generally what you should be doing as an employer when you are hiring an employee, whether that employee be yourself as the first employee of your business, or yourself and someone else, or just someone else. So what are the things, the forms, the steps that you would take? We're going to conclude discussions in this area with the concept or idea around proper worker classification. And this applies to individuals, you as those of you who are employees or independent contractors working for someone. It also applies to the business owner. And so the reason that we're discussing this is because this is a common problem with businesses. And many businesses don't realize they have the problem. But the problem is what we call workers' misclassification or misclassification of employees. And if this does exist in your organization, first of all, it has an impact on your worker, and it also has a financial impact on your business. So let's dive right in. Which are you as a worker? Well, for federal tax purposes, this is an important distinction, whether or not you are an independent contractor or employee. Now, forget the fact that you are working for this business full-time or part-time, that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant whether you're working full-time, and it's irrelevant whether you're working part-time. In fact, it's really irrelevant what the business calls you in terms of your status, particularly if the business says that you're a contractor. Because what you are going to learn is that it is not the title of your job, it is not what you're labeled, it is the substance of how you're doing your job and some other factors that determine whether you are really an employee, but you're labeled incorrectly as an independent contractor. So worker classification affects how you as an individual pay your federal income tax. That worker classification also affects how you pay your Social Security and Medicare tax and how you file your tax return. Because if you are an employee, you are going to file your tax return on a 1040, and you're going to file a 1040 tax return as an employee and have wages. However, if you are an independent contractor and receive a 1099, you'll likely still file a 1040, but you'll have a Schedule C to complete. Classification, your worker classification, affects your eligibility for Social Security and Medicare benefits. It affects your employer-provided benefits and your tax responsibility. Once again, if you are classified as an independent contractor, but in substance, you're really an employee based off of the degrees of control, or the information we're going to talk about in a few minutes, if you are in essence really an employee, but you're being paid as a contractor, labeled as a contractor, then that is affecting your Social Security benefits because your earnings are not being counted as wages for Social Security. So it's important that you know your work status. When you are truly an employee, once again, your employer must withhold income tax and your portion of Social Security and Medicare taxes. Also, if you are an employee, your employer is responsible for paying Social Security and Medicare, a matching portion, and your employer is responsible for paying unemployment taxes on your wages. So your employer should be putting into the Social Security bucket a percentage, a matching percentage of your wages. So if you had $100 withheld from your paycheck for FICA, then your employer would also have to pay $100 of FICA. Your employer would also have to pay into the unemployment tax system on your behalf, but that does not come out of your paycheck. Once again, if you are an employee, your employer must give you a Form W-2 every January. If you are an employee from a tax standpoint, you can have unreimbursed business expenses on your Schedule A. That is eligible for those who are employees, but only if you itemize deductions. And then, of course, if they total more than 2% of your adjusted gross income. So let's talk about when you are an independent contractor, truly an independent contractor. If you are truly an independent contractor, then the business will likely be required to provide you with a Form 1099 miscellaneous income to report what it has paid to you. And this form would be provided no later than January 31st of each year. If you are truly an independent contractor, you are responsible for paying your own income tax and self-employment tax. Because your employer or the business does not withhold taxes from your pay. So if you make $30 an hour and you work 40 hours for the week, you will get $1,200 with nothing withheld. So you're getting all that money. You are responsible for making your own tax payments. So you may need to, as an independent contractor, you may need to make estimated tax payments during the year to cover what you think your tax liability might be. And finally, if you are truly an independent contractor, you may deduct business expenses on your Schedule C of your income tax return. So, when we talk about misclassification of employees, what we're generally talking about is when an employer is classifying someone as an independent contractor, but in essence, in substance, they are really an employee. Now, it's not that the employer is necessarily purposely doing this. It could be for various reasons, but it doesn't matter whether it's purposeful or not. If the IRS discovers, or the business itself, that it is classifying someone incorrectly as an independent contractor, and they should have been classified as an employee, there are consequences to that. So the consequences are financial, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but let's move to what are the facts? What's some things, three major areas that is looked at by the courts, by the IRS, to determine whether or not a person is truly an employee? So you look at an evidence, the evidence that relates to the degree of control and independence. Once again, degree of control and independence. And there's three categories that is really looked at. The first category is behavioral control. Now, behavioral control are facts that show whether the business, the business has a right to direct and control how the worker does the work that they've been hired to do. For example, instructions that the business will give to the worker. So if an employee is generally subject to the business's instructions about when they should work, where they should work, how they should do their job, then that's leaning toward that person truly being more of an employee as opposed to an independent contractor. So let's give some examples of types of instructions about how to do work. So if your business dictates to you or provides you the tools and equipment to do your job, your computer, all of the tools and equipment that you need to do your job, and you're not having to bring it yourself, that's a level of instruction, providing you your tools. If your business dictates when you should work, you need to work from 8:30 to 5, and where you should work, you need to report into the office. You need to report to this location. Those are also indicators of the business having the right to control how you do your job. If your business provides instructions relating to where to purchase supplies and services, what workers to hire or to assist with the work, what order or sequences or processes and steps you need to take to do what they're asking you to do. So if they dictate pretty much the flow and the processes that you need to take. So if all of these instructions or some of these instructions are in place by the business owner, then that's leaning towards this, you as a worker is likely an employee. Even if no instructions are given, sufficient behavioral control may exist if the employer has the right to control how the work results are achieved. Okay, so the key consideration is whether the business has retained the right to control the details of a worker's performance. Okay. So that's behavioral control. That's one aspect of looking at whether or not a worker is an employee when they're being called or labeled an independent contractor. The second category that's looked at is the area of financial control. And these are facts or things that show whether the business has a right to control the business aspect of you, your work, of the worker's job. So that includes the extent to which the worker has unreimbursed business expenses. So let's talk about that. Independent contractors are more likely to have unreimbursed expenses than employees would. Generally, if you are truly an employee, you're going to get all of your expenses that came out of your pocket reimbursed. You're going to submit a reimbursement request and get that reimbursed. But if you are an independent contractor, likely you will not be submitting in reimbursement for everything. An independent contractor often has a significant investment in the facilities, their office space, or the tools and equipment that he or she uses in performing services. So if you are truly an independent contractor, then you would have pretty much, you're providing services not only for this one business, but you may likely be providing services for other businesses. You have other contracts, and you will have invested in your own computer. You will have invested in other tools and equipment. All this investment came out of your business as an independent contractor that you're using to provide services to others. If you haven't made such an investment, however, but you are relying on your business, your employers, to provide your tools, then you are likely an employee as opposed to an independent contractor. However, a significant investment, you won't have to have spent a whole lot of money, isn't necessary for independent contractor status, but likely you will have spent something on your own tools and equipment. If you are truly an independent contractor, the IRS will look at the extent to which you make your services available to others in the market. An independent contractor is generally free to seek out business opportunities. You will advertise, maintain a business location, and available to provide your services to others in the market. If that is not happening, then likely you are an employee for that company that you're working for. How the business pays the worker. So an employee is generally guaranteed a regular wage amount, you know, hourly rate, a weekly rate, a monthly rate. And so this usually indicates that a worker is an employee. An independent contractor is often paid a flat fee or on a time and material basis, or they could be paid hourly as well. But often, sometimes it's a flat fee, you know, $4,000 to do this job. Okay? And an independent contractor can make a profit or a loss. And finally, the third major category is the type of relationship between the employer and the quote-unquote employee or the worker. If there's a written contract and the written contract describes that you are contracting out your services, that will be looked at in terms of you being an independent contractor. Whether or not the business provides the worker with employee-type benefits, such as insurance, a pension plan, vacation pay, or sick pay. Now, if you are working for someone and you are being provided those things, then you likely, highly likely, really truly an employee. Can't imagine that you'd be labeled an independent contractor, but if you're labeled an independent contractor, but you're getting those things, you are definitely misclassified. And then the permanency of the relationship. So if you, as an employer, engage a worker with the expectation that the relationship will continue indefinitely, rather than for a specific project or a time period, this is generally considered evidence that your intent is to create an employer-employee relationship. When I go into an agreement with a client and prepare an engagement letter or contract, it's generally for a one-year period. That's an example that there's a definite period of time to this work, and that the work that I do is not as an employee, but as a contractor or a professional, whatever you might call it. But I'm not an employee because we have a contract that indicates a stop and a start period. So in summary, the reason this is important is as a worker in a company, the first thing you need to know is whether or not you are classified as an independent contractor or an employee. And you know that simply by the by what you receive every January. If you receive a W-2, fine. You are classified as an employee because they're providing you with a W-2. However, if you are receiving a 1099, but I'm going to use this term that many, these terms that you have all heard before, but it looks more like, smells like, feels like you are an employee because your boss can tell you pretty much, do it this way, come in these hours, do not be late, here is your equipment, here are your tools, this is the time you can take off and not take off, I need you to follow these processes. If they dictate, if they have the right to control just about every aspect of the work that you do, you're likely, in substance, really an employee. And in that case, you should be paid as an employee. You should be properly classified or moved to employee status so that you can get the benefits that other employees are getting. And those benefits would be likely health insurance, any type of retirement benefits, and of course, your wages then would be eligible for Social Security in the future, adding to your Social Security bucket. And finally, the employer would be paying into the unemployment system on your behalf. So if anything happened to your job and you go to file for unemployment based on the type, the reason for your leaving, you will likely be eligible for unemployment because you were properly classified. So that's why it's so important to ensure that if you are a contractor and labeled as a contractor, you need to make sure that you really truly are a contractor, and you know that if you're providing services for other businesses and you have your own tools and equipment and you can dictate how you get this job done, you give them the final product. Now, from the business standpoint, finally, if you treat an independent contractor, if you treat someone as an independent contractor, but they are really an employee, you will generally be liable for Social Security and Medicare taxes and withheld income taxes if you don't deduct those. So likely you haven't been deducting those. So if you find that for the last 5 years, you were paying Mary as an independent contractor, and the IRS determines that Mary should have been classified as an employee for those 5 years, you're going to be hit up with 5 years worth of employer taxes and some portion of what should have been held from the employee for their taxes. We won't get into the details as to calculations and how much, but what you do need to know is that it could be pretty substantial. That amount can be pretty substantial if it's found that they were misclassified, unless there was reasonable cause or a reasonable reason that they were misclassified, and that you would have to prove. But if you intentionally disregarded the requirement, then you are going to have substantial back taxes, employer taxes, to pay on Mary's salary that she earned over the last 5 years. So this is a very, very important subject matter that affects both workers and people and individuals, as well as business owners. So be very mindful when you bring someone in as an independent contractor that you are truly, you understand the rules, you understand what the IRS looks at when it may need to evaluate whether or not your independent contractors are properly classified. Now, they leave it up to the employer to classify. However, there are times when the IRS may come in and take a look at that. So finally, people can request for the IRS to evaluate and determine whether or not they are properly classified. There's a form for that to be done, but you go to the IRS website and just take a look. So I just implore those of you who are independent contractors to just consider this from a worker standpoint, and those who are businesses to also consider this, because you just really don't want to end up having to pay substantial back taxes that could really hurt your business. So you want to be mindful at the time that you do bring people on that, and also be mindful of the type of control that you're exercising over someone's work when you do bring them on as an independent contractor, that you don't treat them as an employee. That's really the bottom line, is you should not necessarily be providing them with a laptop or a desktop to do their job if they are an independent contractor. I hope this information has been helpful to you. And until next week, you have a fantastic day and have a fantastic week. Be safe and be healthy. Blessings to you all.